Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Bears on Tap. I'm your host, Inmate 300, reporting live from the Warden's Suite today, because since the last time we recorded our podcast, two more Chicago Bears have found themselves in handcuffs. Unfortunate situation. Let me check in with my co-host, and then we'll get started with today's events. But Joey, how are you today, my guy?
Yeah, I'm good. I guess that makes me, what, Inmate 301?
Yeah, 301.
Doing good. I'm not sure what day of the year we're on right now, but I'm doing
just
good.
Just start chalking them off in yourself.
Yeah, I'm chalking them off. I'm counting down the days till I can sneak out like Shawshank Redemption style. And yeah, man, we're here. That's about all I can say. We're locked up right now.
And we'd like to welcome back to the show a married man. He is off the market now, ladies. He just came back from his honeymoon in Panama, and he is back with us to talk some Bears football. How are you, Clinton?
I'm doing good, nice and relaxed after spending all that time out on the beach, kind of like Red in Shawshank Redemption. I was just living the life out there, but now I'm back in the orange, you know.
I got to say, I'm definitely jealous. That looked like a dope vacation, and obviously congratulations on that. That's a huge day, and I wish you guys nothing but the best. But back to our Bears. So if you guys remember the last time we talked, we really went into the Byron Pringle situation about, you know, the arrest that he had, how the Bears media was treating it. They were really quite, you know, just knocking his top off in the press conference about the questions. And I haven't seen any press conferences for the two recent arrests, but both had to do with firearms, both like avoidable situations, kind of like what we were talking about before we started the show. Like, if you have a state where you can legally purchase a firearm and get a FOID card as a professional athlete, this should be an issue that you never come across. But across the news desk since the last time we talked, Bears wide receiver David Moore was arrested. This is, I want to say, 4 or 5 days ago. And then a day after we just recorded our last podcast on the 25th, linebacker Matt Adams was also arrested with a gun charged with misdemeanor firearm possession. So, I mean, a couple things like, all three of these guys were brought in by Ryan Poles. So right out of the gates, like that is, it's kind of alarming, right? Like you see many different GMs over the years and you don't see this many arrests or this many issues. And hopefully these are just one-off situations, but what are your thoughts when, you know, thinking like that, where it's like, these aren't pace guys. These aren't, you know, guys from the previous regime, because hell, nobody's left from that regime. But these are Ryan Poles guys that he just brought in this year, and they're already getting in trouble like that.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I'll go first here. I think it's hard to really put too much blame on Poles, because it is a blemish right now. And I know a lot of people are looking at it as like, hey, what are you doing signing these guys? Like, they're just getting arrested and doing dumb things. But it's hard to really put it all on him, because it's like at the end of the day, these are grown men and they make their own decisions, and they made some fucked up decisions. So it's like, it is his first year as a GM. So I don't really want to, you know, crucify him for this. And I also look at it and I'm like, well, Matt Adams was a Flus guy. He was from Indianapolis. Getsy worked with David Moore, and then Poles had Byron Pringle. So it's like, one of each of these guys, they came from one of each of these different, you know, two of the coaches and then one from the GM. So to me, it's like, you can kind of put blame on all of them. If you really want to blame somebody, you can blame all three of those guys, the offensive coordinator, Getsy, you can blame Eberflus, the head coach, and you can blame Ryan Poles if you want to. But at the end of the day, it's like, make better decisions. You guys are pro athletes. Like, what are you, I mean, getting messed up, passing out at Taco Bell and in your car and like while you're eating your soft potato taco, like what's going on, dude? Like, we got to do better than this. We're pro athlete. Come on.
He's got a Crunchwrap Supreme just messed in his lap.
Just hanging out in the passenger seat. Like, come on.
I feel like some of it is like when you're signing that third, fourth rung of free agents, like they, you know, had to settle for. You get what you pay for on some level of it. And, you know, you signed a bunch of these minimum contract guys, basically, and you get a few arrests out of it. Like, I don't think there's any reason to raise a red flag on Poles yet, but there's a lot of little things that are starting to add up that are pushing towards a red flag for me. Like, you know, the way the mystery around the stuff with Larry Ogunjobi, the arrests now, and the Soup Campbell firing, and how like it was kind of handled. Like I don't have an issue that he was fired. I have a bit of an issue on the way it was done, from what the reports were, and like those kind of things are adding up to seeing, in my eyes, like it feels like a GM who was not quite ready to be a GM, a guy who is kind of really learning on the job right now. So hopefully that ends up being fine and not a big deal. I mean, hell, we saw some of that with Ryan Pace when he first got here, with the Ray McDonald signing and the stuff with the lack of communication between him and John Fox. Hopefully it doesn't end up that way. But I mean, I think you're seeing an inexperienced GM learn on the job right now.
Yeah, and I think to go back to Joey's point, talking about, you know, the individual level, to where it's like you're a professional athlete, you have more than enough money to have, you know, the right attorneys, a security team with you, and as bad as it sounds, a fall guy. Everybody's got a fall guy once you get to that level of wealth. So you can't be walking around you can't be smoking around in the Taco Bell drive-thru strapped up like it's World War III. That's just not going to fly. And I mean, it'll be surprising to see if these guys don't get cut throughout camp, you know.
I'm wondering, was he searching for like armadillos or something? Like what was he actually doing?
Well, our resident Texas expert, can you explain the town or the area that this arrest occurred in for David Moore? Because you said it was a pretty remote area.
Yeah, I mean, Gainesville's a small town. It's just North Texas. There's not a whole lot there, but it's where David Moore's from, which is kind of interesting to really think about when you think about him getting arrested there and being from there. There's the guys who arrested him very well might know him, as far as I can tell. And obviously I don't know, but like, I don't think it's a great sign.
But he didn't want to share his millions with them. And they were like, all right, buddy, yeah. Like, you know what? We're not taking your edible as like part of the payment here. We're just taking
it. Yeah. And I mean, it's early in the season. These guys aren't like the stars of the team or even starters for that, you know, matter. So it could be a lot worse than it is, but yeah, you don't want to see this, and you want your players to make the right decisions as athletes so that, you know, the best ability is availability. And if you're suspended because you got a gun charge, you're not available. So that's my final note on it. For the Bears, though, organizational chaos as usual, you know, nothing new, just a different week, different story. We'll start with the tickets. So I want to say about a week or a week and a half ago, the Bears announced that they were releasing training camp tickets. And for those of you that know and that have been to training camp before, there's no actual like payment. They're free. So as you can imagine, people probably, you know, were lining up and hammering these tickets so that they could lock up, you know, a couple days at a time or a week at a time or 3-4 days in a row. And it was maybe 2-3 days after the fact. And I had a couple people that I know that got days taken away, or the Bears basically told them like, hey, you can't go on this day, but you can come on this day instead. So in a way, like revoking these tickets that they were initially promising the Bears fans. So from your guys' standpoints, I don't know if you were affected by this. I did not put my hat in the race, thankfully, for this chaos. And I'm glad I didn't, because I'd be very annoyed if I had tried to pick a day on my hectic schedule to go down to Halas Hall, and they said, nope, you ain't coming today, buddy.
Yeah, me and you sat on the show like a couple weeks ago, I think, and we were talking about picking one of the dates and going to one of these training camp dates. And, you know, what would have happened if we actually would have went through with that and purchased a couple tickets and had it revoked, or maybe they didn't even change a date and said, you can come this later date. Like, we got busy schedules, man. You're playing, you know, Bat Don, you know, doing all that for the baseball. And so, I mean, I got work, we all got things going on. So it sucks that this happened. It's just, it doesn't surprise me coming from this organization of dysfunction, chaos. They screw up just about everything for the most part. So it's like,
yeah, that's where I was really getting at. It's just like, dude, you can't even fucking get a Coke in the middle of the third quarter. Like, it's fucking stupid.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just not surprised. I feel bad for anybody that, you know, did purchase a ticket for a specific day that they wanted to come. Like, what if it was Quentin purchasing a ticket
coming from Texas? Yeah, exactly. Coming from
Texas. It's like, this is the day that he's coming. He might have family in Chicago or something, and he can't go to a game. Or he can't go to training camp.
I'd be pissed. Flights are expensive right now, too.
Fuck yeah, man.
But I am I'm leaning on a conspiracy side here. So I'm thinking either Ryan Pace or Mark Sadowski, because Mark Sadowski was very intertwined with the tech stuff that the Bears had and did, and with the, all the renovations. I'm convinced that they had a key man trigger in there.
Inside guy.
They were like, if I'm not here anymore, this thing's going to go to chaos. The Bears are going to look bad.
Oh, my God.
So that's my theory, that someone who got fired had a lot to do with it, and they weren't there to fix it anymore. Not that they should have kept him just for that, but, like, absolutely. I think there's some sabotage at play. Hey, a little tongue-in-cheek.
Technology, it's good for you when it's good, but when it fails you, it's like, yo, can we just go back to typewriters and not having cell phones that have the internet on it? But yeah. I do think I would like to get out for training camp, but I don't know. Like you said, Joey, I got a very hectic schedule. I have yet to get mowed down by like a foul ball yet, but on an overthrow at first base, because I'm like the camera guy in the first base. Well, definitely took a couple Charlie horses on some overthrows, so a little less than ideal, but it is what it is.
Trying to get out of the way, and you haven't stretched quite before the game, so you're just like doing the old man hobble over there.
Not as safe as standing on a sideline during a football game, I'll tell you that. But other than that, the Bears in Chicago, they're back at it again. They're you know, the Bears, they want renovations to Soldier Field. They want additions made, and they want more money pumped into it, or they want to go to Arlington Heights. And I saw a graphic over the break that Quentin also saw. You said it was from the city that posted this graphic. Was it the city of
Chicago? Yeah, it was the renderings of what they wanted to do with Soldier Field.
So it was, I guess you would say, like a futuristic look on what Soldier Field would look like if it stays put, and they added to it. And on the video board outside, it was just Justin Fields, like, sandwiched between, like, Myles Garrett and Jadeveon Clowney. Like, with his neck, like he was kissing the sky. Like, he looked like he just got in the shower and the water was too hot. It was less than ideal. And honestly, like, a pretty solid, like, I guess you would say jab. Just like, yeah, you guys want to do something, maybe win some fucking football games first.
Dude. A serious shout out to, I think it was Jacob Infante that found that. Talk about an eagle eye, like seeing that through the whole renderings, being like, I'm going to zoom in and see what picture this is.
Yeah.
Oh, it's Justin Fields being sacked. Great.
Just sacked, like, sacked lunch sandwich really, between two of the best pass rushers in the league.
I feel like that's like a bad fate thing on the city's part. Like, whoever was making these renderings was just like, we know this isn't going to happen, so let's just make it funny. Let's throw Justin Fields being sacked in there somewhere. Like, come on.
Assholes.
It's just a terrible, like, I feel like, yeah, that was just really, I don't know, signaling. Like, we know this is signaling all the shit. So we're just going to make it look like it. It's just kind of like a bad omen. Like, do you really want to go back to Chicago? Like, knowing that your mayor doesn't give a shit if you actually win or lose. Like,
yeah.
Like, I'm just fucking around, obviously, but like, too little too late, Lori. Sorry. Like,
mm-hmm. I see what you did there. Too little.
Too little too. She's very, very little, but
yeah, I mean, not to turn this to political on tab, but yeah, right. It's a battle that, like, us as Bears fans, and like, we're actually siding with the Bears on this. Like, there's no reason for them to have that lakefront stadium anymore. Like, they are a 63,000 person stadium in a league of 80,000 and above. You know what I'm saying? You know how much more money you could make if you had those 20,000 extra seats, and then on top of that, you throw a roof and you make it its own separate entity, not crammed in between two parts of the highway and the lake, like. You could do so much more with the space. And
that's part of it. She wants to put we could put a roof on it. Like,
yeah, that's not going to do the same. That's not the same as putting a roof on it and putting it in the suburbs. It's just not. And I know we talk about it a lot on the show, but it's like, it's a pressing issue that always seems to come up. And you know what I will say on it? There never seems to be any goddamn progress ever. Like, we don't know if we're actually going to get a super dope mega like facility in Arlington Heights, or if we're just going to keep, you know, the shitbox, you know, UFO looking stadium that has cool pillars that have been there since the very, like, that's the only redeeming quality about Soldier Field is the fucking pillars. That's it.
The pillars.
That's all I got is the pillars. I will die for those pillars, but nothing else in that field.
And how crazy is it going to look when now it already looks like you have a UFO or whatever.
Yeah.
You put the dome on top of that, or you put the roof on top of that.
That thing would be filthy, dude. I would.
Now, what is it, like a tarp crack or something? Like, yeah. What are we doing here?
They're going to put a tarp over the top. Like that. They're like, there's your roof. Oh,
yeah, that's what the Chicago Park District would actually, you know, lean towards doing to save some money. Just throw a tarp over the top.
We're just trying to keep bugs out of the pool.
Basically. Seriously, though, like thinking about, I mean, I'm not an architect or an engineer, but like, has anyone ever put a roof on a stadium this scale that was pre-existing? Like,
no, I
find
so.
It hard to believe that there's even like a feasible way to do it that's cost effective.
Yeah. It's like, dude, just start from scratch. And the thing is, too, I would have to look it up, but the Bears are worth a lot of money. It's not like, I mean, I know they play poor in free agency and, you know, when it's time to pay people, but buying a new facility and creating a new facility where you have, you know, all the things that we've talked about every time we've talked about this, you know, the casino, the hotels, restaurants, all that type of stuff, almost like Disney World for Bears fans. There's no negatives. Yeah, the only negative is you're going to have to come out of pocket and you might run at a deficit for maybe a year or two under construction. And that's if you don't just raise the taxes, because you can just raise the taxes and make all of us pay for it anyways, because that's how it usually works. Unless you get private investors, unless you have a guy like Stan Kroenke who owns like the Rams, the Nuggets, fucking Arsenal Football Club, like all these teams, it's a little different when you're a mom and pop shop. They would definitely rely on the tax dollars. So
let me tell you that, like, a guy like Stan Kroenke without ties to the NFL, because obviously he couldn't do it.
Yeah.
But someone with that type of money and that type of investment acumen would have no problem ponying up some money for a share of the stadium. Exactly. Like, that is a cash cow. That is a moneymaker. 100%.
You're going to get fans that aren't Bears fans that want to come and see that facility. Like, just people that like to go to cool stadiums, you know? So, just something to think of. It's
look at all the new facilities.
Horse until it's even more dead, but it's definitely, like, the only way to go from here on out is to just get out of Soldier Field.
Yeah, and look at all the new facilities, like, around the league that are being built, the new stadiums that are being built just all around the league, it seems like. So, like, you don't think that the Bears are looking at that and saying to themselves, like, why not us? You know, like, why don't we just get
– SoFi got a Super Bowl, what was it, a year in, 2 years in?
Yeah.
They usually try to do it the first few years it's open. So everything is, you know, top of the line tech-wise, top of – like, nothing's messed up yet.
Dude, I'll be a usher. I'll be a parking attendant. I'll work the goddamn concession stand. I don't care. I will be there.
And, like, that's the thing, too, about, like, you know – George, like the McCaskies, they are, they can claim poor or whatever with free agency, but it's not really like, I think that's more philosophical right now with the free agents as like Ryan Poles and stuff. Like he will spend the money on the players, unlike like Tom Ricketts, for example, where you come to look at the Cubs, or like, you know, even Jerry Reinsdorf with the Sox. Like he will spend the money. It's more philosophical. So, like, he definitely is willing to spend the money and invest in
Reinsdorf will not. So, I have a fun fact for you on the topic of Reinsdorf. And if you are just leaving Sox on tap and joining Bears on tap, I'm sorry. But Jerry Reinsdorf, for the first time in his 90-plus years of owning a team, spent over $100 million on a player. You know who that player was?
You said over $90 million on one player?
Over $100 million in over 90-plus combined years of owning the franchise.
Who was this White Sox player? Or are you talking about, like, between that and the Bulls?
Yeah, first $100 million player.
Oh, geez. I was going to say MJ, but
– MJ was making minimum wage, dude. Get out of here.
Yeah, he wasn't making, like, the big bucks back then.
It was Zach LaVine, bro. Zach LaVine.
Are you serious?
Oh, okay. So Reinsdorf don't spend money. McCaskey don't spend money. the Ricketts don't spend money. And we're not even going to talk about the other professional team in the Big Four because they just traded away their entire team. So, again,
shout out to the Four Feathers Pod. Yeah. They had a show earlier today.
You know, shout out to our guy Kobe that covers the WNBA because the Chicago Sky is the hottest ticket in town right now. They are the best team far and above everybody else as far as there are sports teams in this city.
Exactly.
But, yeah, like, I just think – Stop the bickering between the city and the team. Like, get on the same page and do the right thing for the fans, do the right thing for the city, and do the right thing for the organization. That will never happen because there's too many butting heads, but I'd love to play.
The boat's gone for the city.
Yeah.
Their chance was to offer a tract of land that they could build on, and they didn't do it, and it's gone. They're off.
They just put Soldier Field on Northerly Island or whatever that shit's called down there. Yeah. They have concerts. All right, so
I don't know if somebody stumbled upon the wrong show here, but this guy says Browns. Go Browns. But
heck yeah.
I mean, hey,
Jacoby Brissett's my favorite.
Hey, yeah. And we're also wearing Browns colors right now too. So hey, welcome to
yeah, the and show. Then too, since he did say Go Browns, it should be brought up because we are an NFL podcast. But Baker Mayfield was sold for a bag of Chex Mix to the Carolina Panthers, who also, ironically, play the Cleveland Browns week one. So if you're still in the chat, Mr. Go Browns, I have upgraded the Carolina Panthers money line to a 50-unit whale play week one. I'm sorry.
So if you're a Browns fan, and I told you in 2018 you could have the number one and number three – or I'm sorry, the Panthers fan. I told you in 2018 you could have the one and three pick for like a second and a fifth.
Yeah.
You'd be jumping for joy. And that's what they got in Mayfield and Darnold, one and three. Like, how can you go wrong?
They're having the biggest mid-off in the history of mids, dude. It's Matt Corral, Sam Darnold, and Baker Mayfield. I think Baker will probably win the job. I would hope that Baker can win the job, but who knows? Sam Darnold can throw in the ring. People forget that.
They'll be signing PJ Walker off the street in no time.
What was the trade for? Was it a fifth-round pick?
Yeah, it was just straight up for a fifth.
That's kind of ugly. Like, that's just...
Dude, do you remember a time like in sports, whether it was the NBA, the MLB, maybe not the MLB so much because there's always been prospects involved, but at least the NBA and the NFL, it would be a proper trade. Like it wouldn't, you know, it would still kind of be fantasy football-esque where there was a clear winner and a clear loser, but you see teams getting like absolutely fleeced. Baker Mayfield is going to produce more than a fifth round pick. Like call a spade a spade. Yeah. That's going to
absolutely
happen.
He was
playing with one arm last year, you know?
I think it was his contract because he's only on a fifth year option and that so he's a free agent after this year.
Yeah.
So they're only 1 year away from having to decide do we want to pay this guy $20 million a year.
Yeah. And they
makes sense.
But they're paying Deshaun Watson $250 million over the next six years or whatever it may be. He was training with Fields, CJ Stroud, and Malik Willis.
Yeah, right down the street from me last week.
Down in Texas.
I didn't see him, honestly, but I saw a picture that said they were in Austin, Texas. They were at UT.
Justin looked a little beefy, man. He looked like he gained a couple pounds of muscle. I like that. I like seeing that in my quarterback.
He had some spicy potato tacos. That's what it was.
Him and David Moore went up to Gainesville together.
He was hanging out with
a bullet for his quarterback.
David Moore was the small guy.
Oh, my God. Yes. It all makes sense now.
No, David Moore was the small guy. That's why they hired him.
Hammer. All right. So when we get to the betting portion of the show where we go over some of the season total over-unders, just add David Moore everything to my card because he's got to have shot up the favorites list if he was the fall
guy. I have
guy.
So much more respect now for David Moore now that I know that he was the fall guy.
Hey, man, what's a vegan going to eat at Taco Bell?
Oh, yeah, dude.
Spicy potato taco.
An impossible taco. Yo, those spice. Honestly, can we just say the potatoes at Taco Bell are actually pretty damn good for Taco Bell? Like,
that's legit my order.
Throw some cheese on there, some fire sauce.
Yeah, those things are good dope.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so on the topic of Taco Bell, on a lighter note, Joey, run me through. You're in the back of an Uber on your way back home after you left the bar. You're a little drunk because no one goes to Taco Bell sober. And if you do, I'd like to meet you because you are my hero. But, Joey, what are you getting from Taco Bell?
It's definitely happened before. I will say that. And I do also have bad memories at a Taco Bell drunk. Did not pull a David Moore, but I will just leave it at that. I have some bad memories at Taco Bell. I like, this is my order, I guess. It changes. Like, there's a couple that change every time. I believe my order is a spicy potato taco, double-decker taco. I used to get that all the time. I forget they even still have that. I haven't had that in a long time.
Yeah, I know.
The grilled stuffed burritos, I used to mess with those, and they weren't even that good, but I used to get those. The chalupas, you got to get a chicken chalupa.
You have to get a chalupa every time, at least one.
Chalupa is fire.
It's just a cool word to say. I just enjoy saying the word
chalupa. Like, chalupa, I don't know why it's so cool. It's just cool to say. A lap.
Taco Bell on tap.
Taco Bell on tap. TBOT.
Yeah, we're in the passenger over the world, seat. Bro. We're in the passenger seat of David Moore's Ferrari. We're holding the strap. We're trying to get this order off.
It's T-Bot tonight. A lap. I think a lap was the one that mentioned the other day. We were talking something about this in like a group chat. The lap said volcano taco, and I was like, ooh,
volcano taco. Or like a Mexican pizza.
I'm running down like the whole thing.
All right. So your order is like $37. Quentin.
Large Baja Black White Ice.
Quentin, you're on your honeymoon. You're in Panama. All the actual taco places are closed. But you see in the distance, you just see that little illuminated red little light. What do you get?
Dude, just load me up with like four cheesy gordita crunches and a Baja Blast, and I'm good.
Yes. Dude, the Baja Blast is so good, bro. They sell that in stores too now, don't they? It's a brand, right? I gotta get some of that. I hate drinking pop, but that I could drink like literally a 64 ounce of that, like, and not even feel bad about myself. But
run through a brick wall right after.
Yeah. So for me,
like a spider monkey,
you just come out like the Baja Blast man instead of the Kool Aid man, like. Hey.
Bad
podcast. The people that aren't seeing the visual of the show are not getting the full service. Check it out on YouTube, though. It should be live when we're done. But all right, so for me, Taco Bell, the only time Taco Bell would happen for me on a sober night was after like a Maction game, so like a Thursday night Maction game at NIU. But always got to get a steak quesadilla. I like the steak quesadilla. It's like a little appetizer. Get started with that. Obviously, I need a large Baja Blast. Gotta stay hydrated. And then 64 ounce. Literally just shotgunning it in my front seat. And then, I got to say, like, I usually go, like, with one of the boxes that they have. Like, maybe, like, a chicken chalupa box or, like, one of those things where it's, like, you get a chalupa, you get a taco, you get, like, chips or potatoes, and then the drink comes with it too. But it somehow always ends up being like $25, and I'm like, why am I like this?
Dude, it always happens. It's just something about Taco Bell, especially if you're going there and you're, let's say you're in an Uber.
Yeah,
you should be in an Uber. Yes. You go there in an Uber buzzed, or somebody drives you, like, that's, you know, it's not an Uber, it's your friend.
DoorDash.
You
use the DoorDash glitch and order 60,000 Crunchwrap Supremes.
It's always $25 or more. It doesn't matter.
I feel like there's two places, and then we'll get back to football after this. There's two places that will tell you it's a price, and then it's not a price. Do you have any other guesses on that second place? I'll let you guys take one guess each.
Dunkin' Donuts.
No.
Wait. What? Ask the question again.
Quinn got it. I said there's two places, like Subway or like Taco Bell, where it's like, yeah, we have a $5 box. Say you only order the $5 box or the $5 sub, it's $7.50 every time. Like, it's like, oh yeah, 50% tax. Let's ride. Like, let's go.
Okay, I thought you were saying like
to build the new Soldier Field off Crunchwrap Supremes, baby. Let's ride.
So it's the city of Chicago.
Yeah.
I thought your question was because a lot of times when I go to Dunkin', they don't tell me the price when I'm at at the speaker. So I thought you were asking like, what is the place that you don't know the price when you, and then you go around and it's like, what
Dunkin',
the fuck?
Dunkin' could apply to that too, because they be raising the prices too. But that's just the world that we live in. And you know, when the Bears finally figure out what they are going to do, those ticket prices that are already very high to see a team that is not so high on the standings will also go up. But we have a very fun little degenerate last 20 minutes or so for our listeners, and put together. Well, all the numbers were found by lead degenerate officer Quentin. And we'll start with the first over under, the guy that everybody loves, the guy that everybody wants to see hit this number. Joey, Justin Fields over or under 3,350 passing yards this season?
Over, absolutely. Dude, that's breakout,
baby. That's Dylan's burner.
That's definitely Dylan. I did not know who that – he said, you know who this is, and then that's what he said, Stroud going to tear up Notre Dame. So you know I had to expose him because he's not going to tear up Notre Dame.
You're exposing Dylan. This is Bears on tap, Jagoff. We're not talking about Notre Dame. Did you say over? You
said over 33.5. I said over for – you said Justin Fields is passing yards, right?
Yeah, over. So absolutely. What is that? Like, I'm not a math guy, but that's a little under
– I mean, dude.
Game, right? Like 220?
Yeah, they're playing an extra game too, and he's going to get a full season. So if he doesn't
he's gonna get hurt,
he's 205 a game will get him there.
205,
but I think 205 is over. Like it's that's not even just the raw number.
He's got to play all 17.
I'm going under because if he misses three games, then he's not getting it. And I could definitely see him missing three games. Like he'd need like 240, 250 yards a game if he misses three. So I'm just pure numbers here. Odds are he misses a few games and he just misses it barely.
He needs a couple of those alternate over 300 plus.
But if he doesn't miss games, I think it's an easy over.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I agree with that too. And I think like, yeah, there's no way that I look at our offensive line and then you combine that with the way that Justin Fields plays. You know, he will take off and run. He's susceptible to, you know, more hits than a Tom Brady or an Aaron Rodgers that just kind of hangs out in the pocket. I think he probably only plays like 14 or 15 games. And unfortunately, we see some iteration of the new iteration of TDT, Trevor Siemian. So I don't want it, but as a Bears fan, I've been, you know, programmed to be ready for that type of shit. And honestly, I can't remember a year in my entire life that the Bears haven't had an injury at the quarterback position, on top of already being terrible at it. You know, they always seem to have one guy go down in that
room. I want to be like, that's why I was like, man, come on, guys, stop it. But
yeah,
I do because I don't want to happen.
I think he gets three. Yeah. I don't think he gets 33.5 though.
No, but I agree with you guys though, and especially to the point of him like taking off and running and stuff, like that's more susceptible for injury. So,
yeah,
I mean, he's definitely gonna miss at least one game.
He's got the muscle now, though. He got a little extra muscle on him, so maybe, you know, he's got that dog in him. He can,
if he slides earlier too. Last year he had problems, like he would slide a little bit too late at times, and I'm like, cut that out, Field.
I mean, he needs to go to sliding school because his slides were awful. He needs to honestly just go hang out with Trey Turner for like a week. And then
it's weird. It's almost like baseball guys don't slide well in football.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what I was going to say. Didn't he play baseball?
He did. Sliding to avoid a tag, I guess, in baseball. And in football, it's like you just want to get down.
Yeah. True. Absolutely. I think, but I also feel like, if that were me, and maybe it's because I don't run as fast as Justin Fields, but I would know how the fuck to get down in time. I feel like with him, he's so fast that he sneaks up on people that are trying to tackle him.
Yeah.
So then it's like harder for him. Like, oh shit, I better get down. Like,
and yeah, I don't know. The game is probably a little different when you're that fast.
He like tackles himself. They just happen to hold on. Like, you know, those type of tackles. Exactly. The next number, David Montgomery, over under 900.5 rushing yards this season. Joey?
You guys talked me into the under because I wanted to say over. I do feel like Montgomery, I know we've talked about in the past him maybe not having as good of a year this year with the new scheme and everything, and then also Khalil Herbert and some of the other weapons that they've brought in. But I do believe that he's going to still have a solid year. But I think that for rushing alone, I do think that is kind of a high number for him, especially when I think he's only rushed for over 1,000 yards once so far. Young career, but still, I'll say he does go under that mark.
Q, how about you?
Yeah, I'm taking the under. I just think Herbert's going to eat into a couple hundred of his yards. And honestly, I think Herbert's going to excel in the outside zone run game, and they're going to have a hard time keeping him off the field. So – I just don't see Montgomery getting the same amount of touches that he has in the past to hit that 900 number. If he got the touches, I think he would, but I don't think he'll get the touches.
Yeah, I think you can expect David Montgomery to finish somewhere in, you know, the 700 to 850 range, but he's going to have, you know, he's going to have like 400 or 500 yards receiving, you know, so
yeah,
he'll make up for it in other ways. And too, like, we're going to get good things from Khalil Herbert. We saw good things from him up to this point, and he's been a young back. So it's like, you know, in a young back, just like what we saw with Montgomery when we got him, and even to this day, the way Montgomery runs, there's a little bit more hunger. There's a little bit more oomph. There's a little bit more pop to those pads. And I think one of the positions that we have to worry about the least is that backfield, the combination of Justin Fields and whoever the hell may be back there at the time. And that's why I think the under, unfortunately, is the play. As much as I'd love to see Monty go over 1,000 yards, he absolutely deserves another 1,000-yard season. I just don't think he gets it done.
He's going to be hungry for it. It's a contract year. So,
oh, I mean, we're going to
– that's the kicker on that. It is contract year, but I'm avoiding it. At the bet, I'm taking the under.
If you bet that, you just hate fun. So, because you know you hate fun and you hate the run because you know you're going to get a couple of those from Monty, dude, a couple 80-yarders that he's just like
– I was going to say – dude, I was going to say, what if this is the year where we saw the flashes, especially early in the season last year, where it was like, damn, he's got – and Quentin, you mentioned this on a previous show too, like – got a little extra burst in him, you
boost,
know. Like,
yeah, a little extra beast.
A little more quickness. A little just better straight line speed. It seemed like what if this is the year where he's really been working on that quickness and footwork, even in the off season, and working on getting faster? Maybe he does pop off some of these long runs, and we're like, whoa, maybe we were a little bit. He doesn't need the carries, and that's possible too. And I'm hoping for that.
So I think that. He does have that little bit extra quickness. Like, he's shown it. He showed it early last year, but I think he opens himself up more to bigger hits when he's running like that. Mm-hmm. So I think it's kind of a decision of how he wants to play. And I don't know if he can be a full-time back running like that, because he's going to be more susceptible to, you know, hits that he's not expecting when he's running like that. That's my theory.
It's the same thing we just talked about with Fields, where it's like his style of running. You know, we've seen it too in the past where, like, he, you know, just refuses to give up on a play, and then it ends, you know, he ends up hobbling off. So,
yeah. And it wears on you as the season. Sorry.
That's what I was going to say. See, as the season and the career goes on, you got to start to pick and choose those battles a little bit more wisely. But, the next guy, Darnell Mooney, over or under 950.5 receiving yards. Joe.
Slam it. We're going over. I was actually whipping the meat out. That was the meat on the table.
I was hammering the piano for those that can see it.
And I knew that was terrible podcasting because I didn't say anything for like a full second or two. But, yeah, I think he's absolutely going over. I mean, he had his best season. He's only been ascending as, you know, his time goes on here in this league. And he's still a very young player. He's been working a lot very closely with Justin Fields in the offseason. He did it last year in the offseason. I think he's just an ascending player. I was looking at next-gen stats as well about his yards after catch per reception and looking at kind of like over the expected numbers. I wouldn't say he was top of the league in that category, but he was getting more yards after catch per reception than what was expected to. And he's obviously a very fast player. He's developing and getting better as far as like route running goes, even expanding his tree. I think he's obviously very capable of getting open on any given play. And I think the better the line play gets and the scheme gets around him, it's only going to be better for Darnell Mooney. And then you talk about the lack of weapons around Justin Fields as a whole without just Mooney. It's like there aren't very many weapons. We've talked about it a million times on this show. So, and everybody, like national media, is beating it to a pulp about how the Bears don't have any weapons at all. So who's that going to benefit? Darnell Mooney, over, absolutely.
Yeah, give me that over. I mean, the only way I don't see this hitting is if Fields misses significant time.
Yeah, if he or misses.
I think that's an easy over for him. I mean, he put up, outstanding numbers when Fields was the quarterback last year. And I don't see why that would change. I mean, you think about their relationship last year, most of that was from work after practice for the entire preseason and like training camp. They weren't working together. They were putting in extra reps after practice together. Now they're getting all their reps together. I think that's an easy one. He needs to be over 1,000 yards. He's going to be the primary weapon in this offense. He's going to be the featured weapon. He's going to get all the looks. Also, because Bears need to know going in next year if he can be a true number one receiver. They would give him every chance to be it.
It's weird to me that Vegas would move this number down after he went over this marker and Fields wasn't even playing with him for a full season.
Yeah.
And the fact that he got 140 targets last year was his main weapon and, you know, prioritized receiver, even with Allen Robinson here. It's very odd to me that they moved this number down. Down compared to like last year's offseason total.
Don't know if he'll get more targets just because he was already near the top of the league. Like, he was up there in targets as it is.
Of course, yeah.
Like, I can't see him bumping over 150, but his efficiency is definitely going to get better. His per catch stuff is going to look a lot better.
So I think
the main thing, yeah. 100%.
I think he gets the over. I think he's going to have another 1,000-yard season. But I do think it's going to be a little bit more difficult. Like, I think he's going to get a little bit more attention than he's gotten in years past, especially, too, if he starts the season off hot. Because, you know, we have a very weak schedule at the beginning of our season against some, you know, bottom-tier secondaries to where he could have that 150, you know, 180, 200-yard game with two touchdowns. So he could put the league on notice, put the DBs on notice right away to where they give him more attention. But I still think at the end of the day, he has enough talent. And as long as he and Fields stay healthy, is probably the best number on this list if I had to pick one. Next, though, we have Justin Fields over under 499.5 rushing yards. Joey.
Ooh, that's really tough. I think
that's a putterer.
That's so tough, man. I think you will be. I do think they're going to try to utilize more boots, more play action with the scheme, and I think that he's just that damn fast and playing that many games will get him that opportunity to get over this number, because he could have a couple games where he gets over 100 yards rushing. Like, that's not out of the realm of possibility. We could see that just given his skill set. So if he has a couple of those games, now you're talking about he just needs to get like between 25 and 50 yards potentially each game there on out. Like, if that, I don't even know. I'm not adding up the math in my head right now, but I think he definitely could have some big games running the football.
It's not that many yards per game to get 500. It's just more or less like maybe schemed runs. Yeah, like if he has those type of plays drawn up for him, and then two, obviously, injury factor as well.
Absolutely. I think just for me believing in Fields and wanting it to happen, I'm going to go over on this one.
I like it.
So – B-Don, you just said that the Mooney bet was your favorite one. This is my favorite one. Fields had 420 rushing yards in 10 starts last year. I mean, even if he misses a few games, I think he's gonna hit this number and go beyond it. I mean, so in 12 games playing, but only 10 starts.
Yeah.
And then you think about, like, the Ravens game. He only played half that game, you know? It might have been a start, but he wasn't out there for a lot of it. And I don't think, even if he misses some time with injury, I don't think he'll be as banged up as he was last year. The last few games, he barely had – like, he was not playing right. It was obvious. So I love this number. I think Fields is going to be second in the league for QB rushing this year, behind only Lamar Jackson, because the Ravens just completely threw away, like, their concept of passing the ball and just want to power run everything this year. It feels
they're literally the Naval Academy. Cause isn't the Naval Academy in Maryland too? It's in Annapolis, right?
Yeah, it is. Yeah,
they're the same.
So Fields at 500 yards. I love it. Give me it. I think he's going to be at 600 or 700 yards rushing.
I like that.
And that, what about, so I guess Jalen Hurts, what about him though?
Oh, he'll be up there too.
Yeah. He'll be up there.
I mean, he'll be up there. Yeah, he might. So maybe Fields will be third.
Be I like Pauls. Yeah, Fields, that's what I was thinking. Because like, he doesn't throw as well as like what.
No, and they got so many weapons to spread the defense. So.
You know the Eagles play some ugly ass games too, where they're just like, "Fuck it, we just got to let Jalen Hurts run the ball. Like nothing else is working, but we know we have a a running back and a quarterback that can pretty much turn himself into a fullback."
It was like early days.
Runner, man. Jalen Hurts is a real hard runner. So
it was like early days Josh Allen when he just like he was either hucking it deep or he's taking off and booking it. He can still run. But
Josh Allen, dude, Josh Allen is a crash dummy, bro. He don't play. He just plays backyard football and makes it look so effortless. And honestly,
and he looks great in shorts.
Yeah, and he looks great in shorts. But not that we're talking about it, but if you put a gun to my head and I had to put $100 on an MVP bet, it's Josh Allen. 100%.
DraftJoshAllen.net is my favorite website of all time. So
it looks like a fucking Zangle website, dude. I think it might still be up. But yeah.
While we're on the topic of quarterbacks, did you want to talk about the MILF Hunter himself?
We'll touch on that at the end. Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
Because I've seen some conflicting stories on what's true and what's not, but what is true and what's not true would only be decided by the man himself. And then obviously,
I just think it's funny.
We call him Jersey Chase. Someone called her a homie opera. I don't know the whole situation, but we'll get to it at the end. We're done talking Bears. For me, this is heart, not head. And even though Quentin just effortlessly laid out like the head side of it, I would never hammer the under on this because I could never wish for Justin Fields to not get 500 yards rushing. Fuck it. Break Vic's record. Break the damn record. Honestly, go 3,000 passing, 1,000 rushing, and just set the whole city on fire. Like, do your thing. You got the whole city behind you. He's totally not going to hit either of those numbers, but it's going to be my fault. You can remember that.
Hey, he might have 400 yards of sack yards, but he'll have 700 yards of rush yards if that happens.
It's like when you're playing Madden and you're trying to get your back to like 100 yards and you run the dive play and you lose two and you're like, fuck, you just messed up my whole average. Like, come on now.
I just got to 100.
Yeah, come on now.
Back at 98.
Disgusting business. So we got three more. So it's just the same two guys, basically. So Darnell Mooney over under 5.5 reception or receiving touchdowns. 5.5 receptions would be like I will wage my entire life on that. But, 6 touchdowns from the Moon Man. If he's getting 1,000 yards, I'd like to think that in that same universe he's hauling in 6 touchdowns. So I'm going over here. How about you, Joey?
Yeah, I'm going over. I mean, touchdowns are tough to predict. I think. Man, it's just so like once you get in the red zone, it can be all about variance too. Like, especially with a guy like Mooney, it can be you're gonna see who's gonna get targeted in the red zone opportunities. But like a guy like Mooney, he could make most of his touchdowns from outside of the red zone too, like longer plays, which hopefully there are a lot of them this season. I think I will still go over, but I don't feel super confident in this one. Like touchdowns can be very hit or miss, so I don't feel very confident.
This is the type of bet where Mooney gets like a 3 touchdown game the first week of the season, and then you just don't see another one till like the bye week. You're like, what the fuck is going on, dude? And you can't even hedge it because it's not like, what are you gonna do? Just slam no each week for him to not score a touchdown? Like,
right.
You fucking call the number at that point. But
no, at like -200 every week. Or something.
Yeah.
So. I think I might have just found my favorite player prop for early in the year of anytime touchdown, Darnell Mooney, because his rookie year, he had 4 touchdowns. His second season, he had 4 touchdowns. So that's 8 touchdowns total in his 2-year career, 7 of which have come in the red zone. He's going to be a red zone target with numbers like that.
Yeah.
They don't really have any other proven red zone target on this team.
No Jimmy Graham and Matt Nagy.
He's going to get looks.
Yeah.
He's going to get all the looks he can handle it down in the red zone. So I just – over.
I just think of, like, those drag routes, those dig routes, those short little, like, 2-step switch direction routes that he is so good at where it's like
– yeah.
You got a fast quarterback with a fast – well, Dan Orlovsky would say otherwise, but a faster motion than he came in the league. And you should be able to get those plays off in the red zone. So I think
– yeah.
Dude,
I'm just thinking Devontae Adams, all the motion that Green Bay and Gesicki was involved with in the red zone. Like, that's going to – Mooney's going to be doing some of that stuff in this offense, and he's going to be the guy they're looking for.
It almost felt like they were cheating when you would see Devontae Adams go in motion in the red zone. Because as you saw, it didn't even matter if you were Jalen Ramsey. Nobody in the NFL was stopping that. And Derek Carr is going to have a lot of fun with that. And honestly, I think the AFC West is going to be the most fun division in football this year.
Oh, yeah.
100%. So
that's why you couldn't be – that I agree with you on the AFC West. That's why you can't be too mad about – or too mad at Jalen Johnson when he would give up, like, the little touchdowns to Devontae Adams like you're talking about. Yeah. It's just like – that's impossible to cover.
Yeah. It's an outlier.
Impossible. Yeah. Yeah. So I like where Quentin said that on that.
So glad we don't have to see that guy literally twice a year, every year for the rest of our lives. But
yeah, thanks, Green Bay.
The next one, Justin Fields over under 18.5 passing touchdowns. Joey.
Man, can I go over on every single prop? I'm not going to do it on this one. Like I said, with the variance of touchdowns, I think I'm going to go under just because I think he could get a ton of rushing touchdowns himself. Montgomery and Herbert can get a ton of rushing touchdowns. If he happens to miss a game or two as well, that could play into touchdowns. So I'm going to go under on Fields' passing touchdowns. I think unless this is total touchdowns, yeah, I'd probably go over. But if it's just passing,
If it was like a PRA bet, but on passing and rushing touchdowns, yeah, I would hammer that number.
Yeah.
I wouldn't hammer either or. Oh, I wouldn't hammer this
one. Yeah, I'm with you. Give me the under here. I mean, I could see him being at 16, 17, even 18. But, like, he only had one game last year with multiple passing touchdowns, which obviously you're going to expect a jump from rookie season to second season, an improvement there. But given the lack of weapons, and really I think a lot of what they're going to do in the red zone is – aiming to create conflict with Mooney and Fields' legs.
Yeah.
Where you're saying you're getting Mooney, you're motioning Mooney to empty side, and you're having Fields roll out to that same side, and you either got to pick, we're only going to have one-on-one versus Mooney over here, or we're going to have someone watching Fields' legs over here. And I think it's going to create a lot of rushing opportunity for him in touchdowns and take away from his passing total.
Yeah, no, I'm of the same mindset to where it's like, if you got a guy like Fields in the red zone, he's always a threat to take it those extra 3, 4, 5 yards because he's usually going to be your guy to the edge. And that, you know, you only need to get those 4 or 5 yards to score. So I could see them running a lot of play action, a lot of misdirection, a lot of, you know, I'm not going to say trick plays because it's not the Matt Nagy offense anymore, but just trying to keep the defense honest. And then, you know, Justin Fields can do pretty much whatever he wants with his legs. So I will go under here, but yeah, like I could see a scenario where he scratches out like 19 or 20, but I just don't feel confident enough to put money on it. The last number though, this one goes kind of hand in hand with what we just talked about. So over, under 3.5 rushing touchdowns. This is a lot different. I could see this happening before week 10. Like this could happen literally 5 weeks into the season. You could stretch this out to week 17 or week 18. But I don't see any scenario in that timeline that this does not cash at 3.5 touchdowns rushing. So for Fields.
Over, easy.
Yep, over. I think between Fields rushing and Mooney's receiving, we're going to see 15 touchdowns between the two of them.
Yeah.
So it might be all the Bears' touchdowns, but
maybe this is the one that we're most confident since we have the least to say about it. This might be
the
most confident one that we are. Or the one that we're most confident.
He just rushes for 4 touchdowns in a week.
Wait, how many rushing did Fields have last year?
He had like 6 or – nah, maybe it was less than that.
He only had 2. He had 2.
Two?
Yeah.
That's changing this year.
Yeah, he's going to get more.
He'll get 4 this year. I'm sure he'll get 4.
That, I think that's why they set it so low then, just because people look at, oh, what's your last year rushing – what's your total from last year?
Yeah, well, and then too, you also have to take into effect that they are undervaluing like all of anything related to the Bears. Yeah. So there's a lot of value plays in there. You know, our favorite one as a podcast that doesn't have to do with any props or anything. It just has to do with our guys showing up to work, clocking in, and leaving with the victory. We also love that win total at 6.5, which is at even. It's plus 100. So whatever you bet, you get back if they take care of the job. But the one guy we didn't have listed, Quinn kind of sent like a, I guess you would say like a maybe number or a number that could be, you know, posted if they do post prop for him. Cole Kmet over under, we'll say 699.5 this year. Joey, how about you?
Man, I mean, we saw him struggle with some drops at times last year that were absolutely horrible. There was Kmet, you said 700, right?
My damn fucking, my thing's not working. Can't see my finger. Fuck you.
No, I wasn't even gonna say under. I was gonna still say over, to be honest, but it's like so borderline, so close to me that I could see him finishing with exactly 700. I don't feel good about this one at all. I just think that the catch rate,
you're like, dude, probably as long as you give me 5 touchdowns, we can worry about the amount of yards on the
lane. Yeah, give us some more touchdowns. How many touchdowns did he have last year? Zero.
Not many.
He had zero. It ain't just his fault. But
ever
I'm just
since
saying.
Hitting that home run in Carolina.
Hey, I was in on that
goose egg.
I was in on that.
So I just want to, let's see some better efficiency here. If he gets to 700 or over, cool. Let's see some better efficiency. Let's see the chemistry start to build. I know they're working together in the offseason, him and Fields too. So. Yeah, let's see it, man. I'm rooting for him. I think he's got potential. You know, with the Notre Dame, I mean, we're rooting for the Notre Dame guys here, Redon. So I want to see him really do well, and I think he's definitely capable of that. We've seen the flashes from him, but that's really close to like what I would set it at. I think that's a great line.
600.
Like, yeah. I'm so conflicted on this number because like my gut says under and my brain says over. And I just don't know which side to take. Like, if he gets it and it's anything like last year, the last 2 years, it's going to be a million paper cuts, you know. But he's going to be, like, the second most targeted player on this team.
I think
It seems possible. I'd take the over.
Yeah,
I don't even know what his catches are going to be at. But
like 39.5, something like that.
Oh, that's what you would set the line at? I'd go over on that.
Oh, I'd go way over 39.5. Yeah,
39 or 49.5. Well, but I'm saying they're not going to account for that, bro. So
yeah. I think he's going to be pushing like 100 targets because who else is Fields throwing to? You
know? He had 93 last year.
Yeah, and then if he's catching 60% of that at, you know, 12 yards a catch, something like that, you're right up around 700, and 12 is not like a high number for the yards per catch.
No, especially
give me the over.
A lot of the routes that he's going to be running are going to be those 10, 12 yard routes over.
Yeah.
Cause that's the best spot to get him the ball.
Well, then we saw Fields hit him on some seam routes last year that were nice.
We also
if they can start opening up the seam, he's going to hit a few bigger routes and then, give me the over.
The one that
I don't love Cole Kmet by any means. I don't hate on him either, but he's a decent tight end. You know, I don't think he's a great tight end, but he's a guy who's going to catch the ball when he needs to and like pick up some yards. And I think with the volume that he's going to be getting, give me the over.
This is my guy. You guys all know this. I called that we were going to pick him where we picked him. Literally rode his coattail his entire career in Notre Dame. Any number, whatever it is, don't care. Put it in my bet slip. If I win, I'm happy. If I lose, just like Cole, even though he probably doesn't care about this shit, he's not going to be happy and I'm not going to be happy. You know why? Because you win with the boys and you lose with the boys. You don't ever bet against them and you don't bet their unders. Just stay away, especially when it's Cole Kmet and he's a Notre Dame guy and you're a big Notre Dame guy. But, yeah, it's not a very responsible way to gamble. unfortunately for me, it is my red flag come football season. But if there are Cole Kmet props available, you can count on them being my best slip regardless of number.
Over under 1.5 touchdowns, be down.
Alt over 4.5. Alt over 4.5 at plus 500 and plus beat on 300. But we talked about it before we started the show. We apologize. We took a little week off for 4th of July. A lot of, you know, Quinn out of the country, Ron doing Ron things, being Ron Tapp Sportsnet, you know, holding Cubs down, holding the editing side down and doing everything that he does. And then Joey too, man. I mean, you were talking about at the beginning of the show, a lot of baseball going on, not so hot for our Cubs. So decided to take the week off. We're back this week, as you see, and we are about two and a half weeks away from training camp and about a month away from the preseason. It is all right around the corner. We're going to be here to cover it for you. I don't have an exact date when we'll switch back to two shows a week. It'll probably be sometime during the preseason. But for now, this was Bears on Tap, presented to you by On Tap Sportsnet. I'm your host, Brandon Suarez. You can follow me on Twitter at BDon300. You can follow my co-host, Joey Ricotta, at Joey Knows Nothing. And you can follow Quentin at Butkus Stats. Boys, do you have any final wrap-up thoughts? Do you have any final wrap-up thoughts before we wrap up here for the night?
Zach Wilson might be like...
Oh, yeah. Go into the Zach Wilson story. That is the.
I don't even know if there's, like, anything to say about it. Apparently, this is what I saw. I'm not sure what the reports
what
are now.
What had happened was,
from what I gathered, allegedly, was he broke up with this girl. The girl started dating his best friend that he went to school with at BYU, played football with.
Yeah, Dax Millen.
Yeah, at BYU, posted some picture on Instagram, whatever. Somebody commented, like, oh, homie hopper. And she said, oh, he's the homie hopper. He's the one that was sleeping with his mom's best friend or something like that. And so now that's
Desperate Housewives stuff right there.
Yeah, bro.
Dude. And everybody was just, of course, man, BYU, the Cougars, like – you know, everybody just went in on it's not Mormons over there. It's more moms.
Yeah, I saw that. That shit had me dying, dude.
Dude, I spent like a half hour just cracking up at memes. But I don't know, man. That's pretty much it. I don't know if there's another story or what behind it. We have no idea if it's even true. But all I know is that Instagram accounts were scrubbed and
comments were turned off.
Comments turned off, people just left the scene, and now we're just like sitting here just cracking up.
Hey, if that just goes to show you, like, once you reach a certain level of fame, any and everything that you do is always going to be under a telescope or a microscope. So don't be sleeping with some of your mom's friends or cheating on your girl. But also, too, don't be a jersey chaser. Find a different boyfriend that's not a football player because you're probably going to get the same result, and I don't feel bad for you, so.
Dang, and they're best friends for a reason, right?
Like, they're not best friends anymore, though. And dude, they were an electric – you remember watching those BYU teams, Quentin, like
– oh, yeah.
Baylor Romney, Mitt Romney's, like, little nephew, and Dax Milne were electric receivers for Zach Wilson in his time at BYU, and – actually, before we started, it's funny that you brought it up because he's like the hot topic on the timeline. They showed the video of him getting blocked into Bolivian against Coastal Carolina. And I just, that game was like the coolest football game of my lifetime because it was truly the definition of anytime, anywhere, any place. That game was scheduled on a Monday, played on a Saturday, and it was for all the marbles for two group of five schools. And it was honestly one of the coolest things I think I've seen in all of college football. Any final thoughts, boys?
Go ahead, Quinn. Sorry.
I was just going to say, I had this like random thought last night of just like, I hope Justin Field just becomes like the Terminator this year. Like just Arnold Schwarzenegger walking in. It doesn't matter who you're putting up against him. He's taking them all out. And I just want to see him be the Terminator this year. And I cannot wait for camp to see his progress, see him do it, because I have probably too much faith in that kid.
I hear you. Well, This was another episode of Bears on Tap presented to you by On Tap Sportsnet. Like I said, I'm your host, Brandon Suarez. You can follow me on Twitter at BDon300. You can follow Quinn at ButtKissStats, and you can follow Joey Knows Nothing, or Joey Ricotta at Joey Knows Nothing. Similar to what Quinn just said, I do look forward to Justin Fields turning into the Terminator this year, but that is a thing that we're going to have to wait and see. I hope it does happen. We'll be back to cover it for you here at Bears on Tap. Thank you for joining us. Bear down.
Bear down and spicy potato taco and a Baja Blast with light ice.
And a
Justin Fields will be back.
I'll be back.